Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Well, I'd like to really share my excitement as to the growing popularity of Franchise Today. Live listenership is up, on-demand access continues to grow, and the list of proposed topics and guest recommendations and requests continues to expand. So I'd really like to take this opportunity to thank all who have participated as guests on Franchise Today, and specifically, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Micah Brook, my co-producer, Joe Caruso, for his hard work, remarkable insight, and tremendous franchise experience as being extremely instrumental in the success and growth of Franchise Today. Joe, I can't possibly thank you enough. I know your efforts aren't only recognized by me, but by the entire franchise community as well, as the proof is in all the growth and numbers I've just described. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, last week we had another great show as my guest, Jeremy LeDuc, CEO at Elements, Inc., and I discussed technology within franchising. It certainly was an eye-opener for many within franchising. I look forward to having Jeremy back in 2011 as the discussion of technology and franchising is sure to be a regular topic on an ongoing basis. And next week, I'm pleased to announce my guests will be Deb Evans and BJ Emerson, both of Social Geek Radio, which airs live every Thursday evening right here on Blog Talk Radio. And as many as within franchising are aware, Deb is the president and CEO at Computer Explorers, while BJ Emerson is the chief technology officer at Tasty Delight. So we'll be discussing social media, a topic that, of course, everybody knows I'm very fond of, along with, maybe some various perspectives, including that from the franchisor, as Deb and BJ both work for franchisors. Then, for the next 2 weeks, through the holiday season and into 2011, Franchise Today will be on hiatus and will return on Thursday, January 6th. Joe Caruso already has some interesting topics scheduled for the new year, along with some very bright professionals from the franchise community. And I believe we'll be announcing some of the January segments on next week's show, along with dates for several of our special series, including the Legal Eagle Franchise Series and the Franchise Finance Series. Remember, if you'd like to recommend a topic or suggest a guest from the franchise community, please contact Joe at jcfran1@hotmail.com. That's jcfran1@hotmail.com. Well, we do have an exciting show today as we discuss everything IFA. And, of course, we can't possibly discuss everything IFA, but tongue-in-cheek, we're going to be just talking about IFA today. And joining me today is Lisa Harrison, Vice President of Communications and Marketing at the International Franchise Association. Lisa and I will be discussing new leadership at the IFA, upcoming IFA events, new IFA products, the IFA outlook on political issues, and, everything else IFA. So as this segment will cover franchise news and events and some of the things we usually discuss in our IFA corner feature, let's just dive in. Lisa, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you, Paul. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we are really pleased to have you here, knowing that we're in a month or two before the convention and all that's going on with new Congress and all that's going on in preparation for the convention, year-end, the new website or the design of the website, and everything's going on. You must be unbelievably busy, so I really do appreciate the fact that you're able to spend an hour with us today.
Oh, no problem. I really appreciate the opportunity. And, it is busy, but it's a good busy, and it's an exciting busy. So there's a lot of fun stuff that we can talk about today. And again, do appreciate the opportunity to spend an hour with you today.
Well, and I hope it's a very productive hour, as I'm sure it will. I know there are a lot of listeners on today. And as I said at the beginning of the show, our live listenership just continues to grow, and a lot of people will access this on demand. And let me give an opportunity for everybody to have that link. It'll be at www.blogtalkradio.com/franchisetodayshow. And shortly after today's show, it will be available on demand, as well, of course, of all our shows being available on demand. You know, yesterday I saw for the first time the new revitalized IFA website. I just fell in love with it. I think it's great. It looks like it's interactive. There's some flash there. It's exciting. It's compelling. Tell me a little bit about this. I know you must have been biting at the bit trying to get this accomplished for some time, and it looks like a lot of work went into it.
It is, and it's something that we've been wanting to do for quite a while, and I have to give our new president and CEO, Steve Caldera, a lot of credit. He really put the support and the impetus behind kind of escalating a redesign. You know, we've got, IFA has so much terrific information for not only our members but for the public, and we realized that we weren't leveraging the digital world as best as we could. And so, you know, creating a website that is more user-friendly, that has allows us to use more of the digital tools to disseminate our information was critical. It was the first thing that we had to do in order to keep up with how our members want the information, when they want the information, and that sort of thing. So we've been able to hire some staff at IFA that has these skills where we can do a lot of the flash design and the maintenance in-house and, on a moment's notice. So we're hopeful that not only will it make it easier for people to find the great information, but also really help to promote franchising out there because it is growing, as you know. I mean, there's, we anticipate that our forecast this year or for next year will show some slow growth. We're still kind of coming from the economic recovery, but we know people want to know about franchising, and we think the website is at least one step towards making that a better and an easier process for them.
You know, I know, let's, you know, back up a second and talk a little bit about the new leadership and things at the IFA. And I know Steve Caldera has been extremely busy. It's amazing to get anything done. He's all over the place. Mm-hmm. Every time I turn around, he's in a different part of the country. The man must not sleep. What I've really been interested in seeing and have seen, and it's been great, is I really finally feel like we're hearing things and we're seeing things as they happen. And I know with just like seeing the president's announcement on the IFA site, meaning Steve's announcement, and seeing a lot of the press releases come through, it's really a breath of fresh air to be tuned in to things as they seem to be occurring. And I know in today's digital world, that's more the case than ever before. And I'm glad to see some of the improvements in the IFA social media activity. I know they redesigned their Facebook page, and I'm seeing more information put out on Twitter. And that's great, especially as more and more franchisors and franchise candidates alike are spending more time on social media. So it really seems like the initiative is getting information out in a very timely fashion.
Right, and I certainly that's the number one priority for Steve. And as I said, you can clearly see it. You know, IFA has been with the recession and everything, it did kind of slow some things down, but we were able to deliver all the programs that we needed to for our members. But the key is getting the resources in place. And some energetic young folks in here who just come in every day. You know, this is how they communicate. They communicate through the social media platforms more so than folks of my generation. So we really got. You talked about a breath of fresh air, but we've been able to hire some just very talented staff that have come in here and have hit the ground running. And hopefully, it sounds like we appreciate what you said about the website, and hopefully you're seeing some of the other things. And we want that just to only increase as we go into next year. It's really fun. You know, IFA staff really enjoys what they do. We want people to know what's going on. And I think some of the new digital tools just makes that so much easier. And there's really no excuse why we can't be, providing information on demand to our members and to people who want to know about franchising. So it's very exciting. It's very exciting for people who do what I do.
It definitely is exciting. Give us, we're not privileged because we see a lot of what's going on. We've seen the press releases. We've read the articles. We know a little bit about Mr. Caldera, and we're probably going to get an opportunity to see a lot more of him, obviously, next year, starting with the convention. Give me and give our listenership a just overview. What is it like to work with Steve Caldera? What is it like just sitting in front of him when he talks? Just give us a snapshot.
Well, he's very energetic, and he's very passionate about franchising and, you know, the whole business community. And he's passionate about the strategic plan that the members put in place this year. And they really focused in on our strategic priorities, and that's government relations, public relations, and education and professional development. And he really keeps a keen eye on what the members have asked us to do. They've set some pretty aggressive performance measures, and that's what he thinks about every day when he walks in the office. So he has spent his time getting out to meet as many members and as many people in the franchise industry as possible, as you noted before. So I think as we go into convention, it's just a great way to kick off not only a new president and CEO, but we do have our incoming chairman, Jack Earl, who is a McDonald's franchisee. The convention always marks a change in leadership, And this year it's even more prominent because we do have a new chief executive officer. And we're also starting our 51st year. You know, 2010 was our 50th anniversary. And so we're embarking on the second half of this century. And we, I think Steve and the officers and the leadership really think that some of our best days are ahead of us. And as, you know, you talked about, it is kind of the year end, so it's very normal for, you know, industries and companies and organizations to kind of look at the year and do a year review. But it's also important to note that this is the end of a decade. This is the end of the first decade of the 21st century. So we've been kind of taking that broader picture about kind of where the industry's come, where IFA has come. And our estimates show that overall, the franchise industry increased its output, its economic output, by an astonishing 40% over this last 10 years, which is we don't have the numbers to compare that yet to other industries, but that's a pretty aggressive growth. And that's reflective also within IFA's growth. I mean, our franchisor membership grew 30%, our revenue grew 70%, our FranPAC, our Political Action Committee receipts, grew over 1,000%. And our net assets just at the IFA grew, you know, almost 240%. So we really experienced some pretty aggressive growth over the last decade and are very well positioned to meet, I think, some of the challenges that we still face as an industry, particularly here in Washington. And Steve understands that. He has a background. He has the experience. And I think going forward, we are poised to make some even better gains, not only within the industry, but within IFA.
Well, I was impressed. As busy as he is, and as busy as he must have been in the first few days with the IFA, I had just sent him a welcome email, and within a very short period of time, I got a personal thank you email in response, and I really appreciate that type of response time and effort. And that just showed me right then and there he's really tuned into the members' needs, and it was really great. And you mentioned about it being the end of the first decade of 2000, and all of a sudden Y2K ran through my mind, and it feels like it was a century ago.
I know.
You know, I know the IFA, you know, a big part of your efforts are government relations and public policy. Well, give us an idea on some of the IFA outlook on political issues that our listeners would be interested in knowing.
Right. Well, as I'm sure everyone is aware and have observed over the last 2 years, we feel that we've been facing one of the most anti-business, pro-regulatory, political environments that we've ever faced. I mean, I don't think that that's you know, overstating it. So it's been a tough couple of years to deal with some of the uncertainty and some of the different philosophical approaches that to business policy that we've seen over the last 2 years, especially during this tough economic and challenging times. So as we look ahead going, you know, next year, we do have a new Congress. We are back to a divided government, which I think most experts and most agree is probably the best for our nation. It allows, you know, leaders of both parties to actually focus on governing instead of one political agenda over another. And that's true for any political party that's in office. Anytime you have one party controlling all branches of government, it just makes it tougher to have good, you know, sound and logical debates on policy. So I think that's good going forward. But we still face, we're hopeful that they're going to resolve and pass this extension of the current tax rates for the next 2 years. That will add some certainty to the business community. But there's still a lot of challenge facing us and a lot of uncertainty for business owners. And that's where we'll be focusing our efforts. Credit is still is going to be a challenge next year. For the franchise industry to continue its growth. So we were able to get some of the changes that we got SBA loan program that we think will help, but there's still more to be done. And Steve will be leading a credit lending summit the first quarter of next year to kind of bring lenders together, government together, and the business community together to see what more can be done. But as we look forward, you know, we still have to implement this pretty massive health care bill that was passed earlier, and that, you know, the devil's in the details. At this point, there are more questions by our members than answers as far as exactly how they will be implementing it. You know, you've read about the 1099 reporting requirements, which is essentially new paperwork that small business owners have to do that most everyone agrees is onerous and needs to be repealed, and we're hopeful that that will happen as we get into next year. But, you know, we're still facing, challenges on immigration, challenges on, some of the energy policy that some people want to put forward. All of these increases in government participation in our lives and in our businesses only adds more cost and more regulatory burdens to small business owners at a time when they're trying to recover. So we're hopeful that with this divided government that we can have more reasonable discussions about some of these policies that are facing us. And, of course, the biggest one of all is what to do about this looming deficit. And so there will be some tough choices that lawmakers will have to make, and we'll be watching it very, very closely to make sure that there aren't unintended consequences on the small business community that as a result of some of their actions to reduce the deficit. So it's going to be an interesting year. It's always a fun year in Washington when you're midway through a presidential term, and we will start very, you know, early next year talking about who's going to be the next president. So if you're a political junkie, that's great. If you're tired of hearing politics, then you might become a little frustrated next year. But it's a fun time in Washington if you enjoy this kind of work. But it also, there's a lot of challenges and a lot of potential for harm for the small business community as we enter into the next Congress.
Well, certainly I see an opportunity for the IFA's David French to be back as a guest on our show.
Sure.
I look forward to that in 2011. And you mentioned the economic impact that franchising has, and I think a lot of people don't realize, especially people outside of franchising, how great that impact is. And I know next week, next Wednesday, I believe on December 15th on CNBC, there's a special on franchising that's to air. And it's my understanding that the IFA was not contacted for any input into that. Is there any thought that the IFA has on that?
Well, we found out about it when we saw the press release about the show, and so we immediately contacted the reporter, and his reason for not including us either with on-camera interviews or information is that he wanted to talk directly with some of the franchise companies, and that's not too unusual, I guess, for for people not to want to go through a trade association, because you know we are an advocate for franchising and thought that maybe some of our information would be biased. We disagree with that. All of our information is very well documented and supported by third party experts. So we put together, we had a good conversation with him. We talked through some of the issues that he will be focusing on the segment. We put together a pretty lengthy letter to him to make sure that he understood that he could really put the franchise industry into the broader perspective. As with any business or any industry, sometimes things don't always work out as great as they could. And so when those issues arise, there are mechanisms in place to deal with that. But we wanted to make sure that he understood that there's an overwhelming number of people that are involved in the industry are happy. We've got data that shows that franchisees, the majority of them, enjoy being in owning a franchise business and would recommend that to a friend. So we've put that there. We've asked them to include that on their website. We've also requested that they put our introduction to franchising, which is a really great consumer piece that we just updated and will be releasing here. It's already on our website, but we'll be promoting that here very shortly, so that people they have the tools that they need in order to really make good, sound judgments about getting into the franchise industry. So we're hopeful that it'll be a balanced and positive piece about franchising. We'll make sure from an IFA standpoint that the franchise industry's views and perspectives in a broader sense are represented.
You know, I know a big part of the IFA are the coordination and scheduling of all the events that go on throughout the year. You know, starting the annual convention, public affairs conference, the legal symposium, multi-unit conference, executive leadership conference, the IBA-IFA joint conference, legal roundtables, Wednesday-wise webinars, et cetera. It just seems so monumental, so mountainous a task that sometimes I just wonder how you all coordinate that so well.
Well, we have our meetings and meetings department is led by Deborah Moss, and she's been doing this for a long time. She is probably, you know, the best in the industry as far as coordinating all of our meetings and educational programming, and she has a terrific staff. It's a very lean staff, but they're very good at what they do, and we are pretty proud of our programming. We get high marks from people who attended, and certainly the convention is the big kahuna, you know, for the year, and it's always an exciting time at the staff level, and we hope that once people get on site, it's an exciting time for our members because the programming is so great, but also, there's the ample opportunity to network and to learn from each other. When we do surveys of our membership to find out what they want, what they need from IFA, I mean, the number one reason that people see value in being a member of IFA is those networking opportunities to learn from others. So you've got the most seasoned franchise executives that are so generous with their information, willing to sit down and talk with emerging franchisors or franchisees about their experience, about what worked for them, what they've learned over the years. And it really is unusual for a trade association. I've worked for other trade associations in my career, and most of the time you have members that are really competing each other. You've got they're all in the same industry, so they're competitors. But in franchising at IFA, everyone is supportive of the franchise model, and everyone wants to advance and improve and enhance that franchise model so that it's good for the franchisor, the franchisee, and that the companies can grow and create jobs. And it's really a very energetic and very inspiring atmosphere to be in. It's very unusual. I don't know people realize how unusual that is for most national conventions for trade associations. So it does take a lot of work, a lot of effort and time and energy goes into it. We have a committee of our members that actually plan and help plan the programming for our convention, and so these are people who know what our members want, and they do a great job of identifying speakers and programming that our members want. So it's really a collective effort, and we are hoping that we're going to be, we could have a record year this year with the economy improving a little bit. Las Vegas is always a very popular site for us to have, and so we just encourage people to, if you haven't already registered and plan to come, it's certainly not too late to do so. So February 13th through the 16th will be a great time to be in Las Vegas.
Absolutely, and front and center on the website is a on the IFA website at franchise.org is the logo for IFA 2011. Click on that, and it'll take you to a registration page. Or if you're at the Franchise Essential site at fmdpro.com, there's the same logo there that takes you to the registration page. The more the merrier. I know we've been promoting it on Twitter as well using the hashtag IFA2011. So pass it on. Share it with everybody. Yeah. As we lead into the convention, what exciting things can we expect out of this year's convention?
Well, a couple of things. One, we've got some great keynote speakers. Mitt Romney, who's the former governor of Massachusetts, will be a headline speaker. You know, there's all kinds of speculation that he's going to announce a run for the presidency. And if he made it at our convention, we would love that. But I don't think that's going to happen. But his unique experience about running a state, running for president, but also as a from his business perspective, we're really looking forward to what he has to say as he looks forward to 2010 and what he anticipates. The other keynote speaker is Steve Forbes, who, for those of you who've ever heard him speak, he's a terrific and dynamic speaker, and certainly from his business acumen is going to be very, very, I think will be very interesting to members to find out what his perspective is on some of the solutions to these policy issues that we talked about earlier, especially the deficit. You know, there's a lot of people who have a lot of different ideas on how we can get our deficit under control, so I think it'll be interesting. We will be releasing our new economic impact of franchising data. This is something that we update every so often. That's kind of an extension of our forecast that we do every year. But this year, as you might recall, in September, the Census Bureau released really first ever U.S. government census data on franchising, and that kind of created even a better data set for us in order to really determine what the true economic impact of franchising is. So PricewaterhouseCoopers is working right now as fast and furiously as they can to get all of that information updated so we can have the best economic data that we can, especially as we're working to try to educate a new Congress. And that information will also be available by congressional districts. So people who are involved in grassroots advocacy or members of Congress will be able to see exactly what the economic impact is going to be in their district. So that's always interesting, and it'll be interesting to see what the numbers are. And then a new product that is really kind of the brainchild of our chairman, Ken Walker, who is the chairman and CEO of Driven Brands, really wanted to create a benchmarking service for members. In other words, that you can benchmark your performance against other franchise companies. And so we will be premiering that, releasing the first phase of that. It was called OnTrack, O-N-T-R-A-C-K. It's a tracking mechanism, a benchmarking web-based program that members will be able to participate in and then glean their data back and kind of see how they compare, how they stack up to other companies. So it's very exciting, and we've been working on that all year, and it'll be revealed at convention. And then, of course, the popular Taste of Franchising, which a lot of companies will come in and showcase their products, and it's just a great way to kick off the convention. And then the host of summits and seminars and educational sessions that we have planned, talking about social media, you talked about that earlier, talking about how to talk with Generation Y, with kind of the next generation of workers that we're all going to be dealing with, how do you recruit them, how to work with them, how they can make your business stronger. And then, of course, Marty Regalia, who is the chief economist at Chamber of Commerce, he's there every year. He's always in hot demand. People want to know what he thinks the future holds from an economic performance standpoint. So it's going to be chock full. I can't believe we can get it all done in 3 days, but I think we will run ragged trying to get it all done. But it's jam-packed with great information for members.
Well, I'm sure it will be. I know the one in San Antonio this past year in February for the 50th anniversary. I think that was actually the 25th convention, correct? This year?
Last year we said it was our 50th convention, but you know our records aren't probably as clear as they should be, going back all those years.
Well, it was. know, President Bush spoke, and it was
right.
it was really good, and I was happy to see a lot of people I hadn't seen in years, and
yeah.
Looking forward to the convention in February as well.
Yeah.
And I know actually I'll be speaking at, or I'll be involved in one of the roundtable
exactly.
discussions at the Tech Summit right
yeah.
before. The convention and during the roundtable session, talking about what else, franchise lead generation and social media. So I'm really looking forward to being active and
yeah.
participating.
Oh,
and,
yeah, those are always very popular. Anything that's having to do with the technology summit or social media is always standing room only. So be prepared to have a lot of people in your session because everyone really is hungry for information on how to best leverage some of these new platforms.
Oh, I know. I could tell just by the on-demand listenership from last week's Franchise Today show with Jeremy LeDuc as my guest, and we talked about technology and franchising, and a lot of questions came out of that, and there was a lot of participation, like I said, a lot of on-access demand. So, technology is where it's all about. And matter of fact, in August, you gave me an opportunity to write about technology in the August issue of Franchising World. And Franchising World, the IFA's publication, actually has an anniversary coming up as well. Isn't that correct?
Yes, it's our 25th year for Franchising World. And we are pretty proud of that. It'll be a big part of going forward in 20. You will know next year that it's the 25th anniversary of Franchising World. So we have some pretty good marketing and promotion programs planned for that as well.
Well, that's awesome, and I'm glad
yeah.
to be able to participate as I can. Are there any other IFA products besides the benchmarking tool coming down the pike that you're able to share with us?
Well, again, I mean, I mentioned in passing, it's not really a product, but I certainly think it's something new and unique. This franchise, this summit on franchise lending that we'll be doing in the early part of the quarter, sometime March, April timeframe. The date hasn't been officially set yet, but it'll help us bring together. The experts, because people feel like it's kind of a new day in lending. I mean, the kind of terms have changed, the standards have changed, and as an association, we can help provide that information to our members about what lenders are looking for going forward, because we just don't think we're going to go back to where we were before the recession. The terms have changed, the standards have changed. At the same time, we want to make sure that lenders, bankers, fully understand the unique nature of franchising and the unique nature of the franchise model. And so, with all the data we've talked about, the economic data and all the data that IFA has been collecting over the last couple of years, we want to make sure that they understand how successful the business model has been within the business community and the contributions that they make. So that's going to be a big focus. That'll be a big priority for us next year, as we look at some of our, some of the other priorities that we're looking at. We talked about we've got a new Congress coming in, and so we've got a slew of new members who, don't even know where their offices are yet, much less know what franchising, the breadth of franchising in their community. So we've actually doubled our resources this year for our public awareness campaign. And that's a campaign that we launched in 2008 that has both earned and paid media that's just targeted inside the Beltway to try to put a face on the industry. Let members of Congress know that when you see a franchise business in your community, it's a local business owner. It's not, it's not owned by a corporation, and another city outside of your district. So we've been really laying the groundwork for a pretty aggressive, public awareness campaign. And because it's even more critical this year, because we have so many new members of Congress, the board of directors voted to actually double the resources put together. So we'll be kind of featuring three new companies this year, taking out more ads, trying to make our case and our message known broader and further to more people. And there's also an online component with some of the Inside the Beltway publications that will talk about the economic impact of franchising. So that's an existing program, but it's one that the board of directors really took an eye to to really increase, because it's just a critical time. As I said earlier, we're still facing a lot of challenges in Congress, a lot of challenges recovering from the economic, you know, from the recession. And so we've made a lot of headway over the last 5 years as far as positioning IFA inside Washington, growing our influence. Our PAC, you know, our Political Action Committee has grown, as I said, over 1,000% in the decade, with members contributing over, you know, over $715,000 just in this 2010 midterm election, to support 135 pro-business candidates. So, and our board of directors wants to take that to $1 million PAC. They want to be $1 million PAC by 2013. So that's a huge, huge goal to reach. And so Steve Caldera has put together a framework to do that. He's named a President's Council, identifying those people who are great at fundraising and who can go and reach out to their peers and urge them and explain to them the importance of contributing to PAC. So that's another, it's an aggressive goal for us, but we feel pretty confident that the, you know, our members in the franchise industry will step up and help us meet that $1 million Political Action Committee goal. And when you look at all the PACs inside Washington, there's not that many that are $1 million. And if we can reach that, increase our public awareness efforts, increase our lobbying, and increase our grassroots, IFA will be very poised to have significant impact on some of these policy challenges coming down the road.
Sure. You know, and being proactive certainly is the way to go, and a lot of individuals aren't really aware of how much being proactive is important. I know when Daryl Johnson of Frandata and Ron Feldman from Siegel Capital were guests on Franchise Today during the Franchise Finance series, and they discussed about how much more banks today are looking at the franchisor and being aware of franchising as a model and everything that goes along with it. It's just so vitally important that there is public awareness more now than ever before. So definitely if the listeners are not aware of FranPAC, you know, go on the website, the IFA website at franchise.org. You'll see it in the flash. You'll see that they have the announcement of the new President's Council. Good information and really a good effort to be involved in. You know, a lot of times, you know, of course we know IFA is International Franchise Association. Of course, we're here in the States, and we're wrapped up with everything that goes on here within our own borders. But how important and how active is the International Franchise Association outside the U.S. borders? I know yesterday I read an interesting article about franchising growth going on in Africa right now. I was blown away by it. I saw that there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much they're growing and more investment that they're making down there. And, of course, we knew what went on in China and Asia over the last 10 or 15 years. How important is the international sector to the IFA?
It's very important, and not only to the IFA, but to our members. And when we poll our members, some 70% of them are either already operating overseas or have plans to. So when you kind of step back and realize that, you know, looking at the franchise model as a way, as the most efficient way of growing and expanding businesses, people around the world have figured that out, just like the U.S. And especially in developing countries, when they realize that they can improve their economic development by using, you know, implementing this franchise model as far as attracting businesses to their country that creates job and economic revenue, and hopefully will put them into it as a developed country instead of a developing country, it's phenomenal. I mean, we've seen what, you know, certainly China is the growing economy that it is, has worked hard over the last, you know, 10 some odd years to improve their regulatory infrastructure in order to regulate franchising, because we all want a sound regulatory structure, because you want to make sure that people are being above board and they're being responsible business people. Once they did that, and once they had a regulatory structure that our member companies felt comfortable operating under, you just saw it explode in China, Brazil. Obviously, Canada is you know, they're just kind of our sister, so they're big into franchising. But you know the World Franchise Council, which is kind of our counterparts in all the other countries around the world, just had a meeting in South Korea of all places. You know, we were there. We're a major player in the World Franchise Council, so we can sit down and look at not only franchising in the United States, but on a global scale. What are the challenges facing franchising worldwide? What's going on in other countries? What are the challenges and opportunities that we all face, and that what are the things that we can do to work together? So, you know, we just also we participate and our members participate in a lot of the development expos that go on around the world, whether it's China, Singapore, you know, Latin America, where our member companies will go over and participate in some of the expos, reach out to some of those prospects that are in other countries so that they can expand their brand. You know, a lot of people often ask us, why are you called the International Franchise Association? I think, you know, if you look back in the minutes and the records of how IFA was started, you know, those founders 50 years ago, you know, purposely named us the International Franchise Association because they were the frontiers. They knew that franchising was going to not only explode in the U.S. but around the country, around the world, and that as a U.S.-based franchise company, the more saturated you become in the U.S., you have to look outside our borders for expansion. So that's a long answer to your question, but it is incredibly important. We have a very aggressive international committee. We try to put as much information as we can about these new markets on our website for our members, and we have representatives attending meetings all around the world all the time, representing IFA and representing the U.S. Franchise industry to other you know, business-like organizations around the world.
Well, certainly, and to that end, the new design website has a great section on international franchising, as well as listing of the franchise associations worldwide. And if any of our listeners are not aware of the impact of international franchising, just go onto that site www.franchise.org and look at the last tab on the right, international, and there's a wealth of information. And if you just run down the list of franchise associations worldwide, I mean, you know, of course, there's the countries we know very well, you know, Australia and Argentina and Japan, and but there are some there that you wouldn't even think of franchising, whether it be Malaysia and Lebanon and Morocco and Croatia and the Czech Republic, and the list just goes on and on. It's remarkable how widespread franchising is. And, of course, you mentioned Latin America and you mentioned Brazil. And, of course, with the World Cup being down there in 2014 and the Summer Olympics being down there in 2016, I'm certain we're going to see tremendous impact within franchising, just like we did in Vancouver and Beijing.
Sure. Oh, yeah. It's really pretty exciting. I mean, it's really one of the U.S.'s more successful exports when you really consider it. It's, you know, the U.S. companies have perfected the franchise model, and certainly they're exporting that overseas for their own benefit, but they're also helping other, you know, countries and other companies really grow their economic you know, viability, which, to be honest with you, is good for all of us. If we've got a strong global economy, that's good for U.S. companies. So, you know, it's the old saying that, you know, a rising tide raises all ships. And I think that that's what a lot of the leadership that U.S. franchise companies have, you know, the result of some of that leadership is really helping some of the developing countries around the world create a way of providing for economic development and job and growth within their own countries.
Yeah, and I know from working with some business owners in Mexico and South America, you know, it's always been the case where American and Canadian franchise companies were looking at international expansion, and they would take their concept from North America and then, of course, take it overseas. But I'm seeing a lot of interest now of independent businesses and small franchise companies overseas that are looking to come here into the United States. And I think that's going to be another wave that's really going to fuel the continued growth of franchising. And it's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable.
You know, every year at the International Franchise Expo, which has traditionally been held here in Washington, the U.S. Commercial Service, which is part of the U.S. Department of Commerce, we work very closely with them, not only to promote franchise businesses overseas, but as you said, they work with our embassies overseas to bring some of those, businesses that are based in other countries over here. And I think last year we had representatives, you know, 40 delegations, 40 international delegations that the U.S. government brought over. They attended the expo. They met with us. They learned because they do recognize how important the franchise model can be in not only growing their own businesses but improving their country. So it's not just the private companies, but the governments overseas recognize that, and they are funding and helping, just like our government does, promote some of those franchise businesses here in the U.S. So, it's a free market system. If they have a product that is what Americans want, you know, they should be very successful here.
Sure. And, of course, as an extension of that, it's going to create more jobs, meaning we're going to need some more in the way of personnel resources within franchising. And I know on the IFA's site, next to the international tab is professional development. And there's a listing there of the Certified Franchise Executive Program, CFE, FranGuard, different events, the IFA University. I mean, manpower and people that are knowledgeable in franchising is going to be a big thing moving forward, without a doubt.
Exactly, and also people who understand the best practices of franchising. You mentioned the Certified Franchise Executive Program, which I think we're close to 1,700 graduates now, or at least either graduate or in the queue to become graduates. That really is phenomenal when you think about people really dedicated and wanting to improve not only their own professional development, but all of the experts that are out there that can sing the gospel, for lack of a better word, better phrase, about franchising, but also that best practices message, because that's the key to our success going forward, is to make sure that we have the best informed people running businesses and buying franchises so that everyone's successful across the board.
Absolutely. I know that's one of the goals that Joe and I have with Franchise Today, is always promoting best practices. Mm-hmm. And I am so honored and appreciative of the time that people from the industry, some of the brightest minds in the industry, have taken out of their day and their week to be guests on Franchise Today and talk about best practices. We talk back about our legal franchise series, and we had just some of the top minds in franchising, whether it be Warren Lewis talking about his franchise seller's handbook and Lane Fisher talking about financial performance representations, and going on to the franchise finance series with Ron Feldman and Daryl Johnson, as I mentioned, and just a host of people. It's just been fabulous, as well as people. We had Scott Lair from the IFA on, David French. You're on. Hopefully next year we can get Mr. Caldera on. It's great. It is all about best practices, and there's it's just a great community to be involved in, and it's a great industry. What's going on regarding FranGuard? How is that expanding? I know it was introduced at last year's IFA convention. I've heard little of it, bits and pieces throughout the year, and I know a lot of our listeners have asked about it and was wondering if we were going to be doing a future show about best practices and FranGuard, and As I said, we had just introduced it earlier this year. David French was on and talked some about FranGuard this year. What can we expect? Is there anything new coming down the pike with respect to FranGuard?
Well, we certainly, as you mentioned, we introduced it earlier this year, and we've had John Reynolds, who's our president of the the IFA Educational Foundation, has kind of worked with the committee in getting this out the door. We've held various seminars around the country. Certainly, at our meetings, we've had the seminars, and you're right, it's starting to pick up traction. More and more people are trying to sign up, and what it's meant to do, it's just meant to be that kind of an enhanced sales management and compliance initiative as part of the CFE program. And so there will be seminars, again, at our convention. I think it's going to be held on Monday morning for people who want to learn more about it and how to get involved in it. So it's kind of, it runs parallel and runs in conjunction with the CFE program, but it was devised and conceived to be an avenue and an educational resources for people to further enhance their sales management and compliance knowledge. And, the more you know, the more you can do. And so for a new program that's just started, it's really becoming quite popular. And you'll see, I don't think we've announced them yet, but there will be seminars and sessions around the country next year. One thing that our strategic plan does, and our board of directors spend a lot of time talking about, is to creating regional and local programming for people who may not have the time to go to all the meetings and all the opportunities that we have. So we're trying to go out into some of the major cities and even some of the smaller cities and go to our members for some of these educational resources. So we're putting together that list of not only the FranGuard seminars, but, we have franchise development seminars. We have other educational program that we actually go out and take them to the city, so that makes it more accessible to more of our members. So that will be, keep an eye out for that. Those dates will be published soon as we come up and finalize those dates here the first of the year.
The one question I'm often asked as I work with a lot of startup franchisors is, how can people get more involved in the IFA?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my, that could take another whole show. I think, first of all, probably the number one thing to at least initiate how to get involved in is to come to convention. And I know that that's hard to do, but if you can either come to convention or go to some of these regional programmings that we have to learn more about what the resources are. You can get engaged in our forums and get engaged in our committees. Some committees have a certain number of people that they can have, but certainly get to know those committees, go to the committee meetings. As we talked about earlier, advocacy is critical to the future of all, the future of franchising. So our Franchise Congress program provides an opportunity for people to be engaged and be involved in IFA and the issues facing the franchise industry, really without ever leaving their community. Because the whole Franchise Congress is designed to develop those relationships, one-on-one relationships with local lawmakers, state lawmakers, and their federal lawmakers in their home districts. And so that's probably, with the least effort that you can get involved in IFA, and we would hope that would lead you to become even more involved and come to Washington during our public affairs conference and go up to the Hill and advocate on the issues that are important to franchising face-to-face with those people who are your congressional representatives. So there's a variety of ways to get involved. The first one, as a member, you get, the magazine, and we have now our weekly newsletter is an electronic newsletter that you can get that, and then also from Franchise Congress. We're trying to do all of that as much as digitally based as we can, so people can access it anywhere, anytime, in the format that they want to access it.
Absolutely, and I really seen some nice work coming down the pike with the website and a lot of the things digitally. And, you mentioned advocacy, and I know there's the various coalitions that people get involved in. Ironically, that was one of the ways, actually, I think it was the way I first got involved with the IFA back in, I think it was 1991 or 92. I was involved with the Coalition for Responsible Franchising that was spearheaded down in Texas. Steve Hammerstein, I believe, was in charge, and I know Joyce Mazzaro, attorney out of Dallas, was very involved. And as I was president of a regional franchise at the time, I got involved, and it was just remarkable. And I remember going on our treks to Austin and
right.
talking to various people on the Hill in Austin, and it's just remarkable. And if you haven't had the opportunity to do anything like that, I highly urge you get involved at the local level, regional, national. Go to the FBN meetings, the Franchise Business Network meetings across the country, the Women's Network meetings. I know I spoke at the Women's Franchise Network that Deb Evans hosted out at ICED headquarters
sure.
last year. A great group of people. It's just there's a lot to get involved in.
Right.
I know we're going to have our inaugural FBN for San Antonio and Austin in January. We're well excited about it. I just love the fact that you were here with us today, Lisa.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I know you got a photo shoot to go to.
Yeah.
We'll keep you any longer. Parting words before you leave?
I do, actually. You know, you've been so kind to promote our new website, and we really appreciate that. So that's a great place for people to go and get engaged with each other. But we do urge you to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, join our group on LinkedIn. You can go to our website and sign up to receive our press releases, our newsletter. All of our Franchising World issues are available digitally. So there's probably more information that anyone could ever want about what's going on at IFA. And we hope that we've had some tools that we've developed to make it easier for you to get that. And just stay tuned, because we want to do some more and make it easier for people to access and get engaged in IFA.
Well, I appreciate it. And I thank you again for being my guest today. I really appreciate all that you do for the IFA and for the franchise community, and my same sentiment goes out to all involved in the IFA, and we look forward to having you, as well as other IFA staff members, on as guests in 2011 for Franchise Today.
Well,
so,
thank you for having us. We'll see everyone in Las Vegas.
Sounds great. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right,
go ahead and run to your photo shoot.
We'll do that. Thank you very much, Paul.
Take care, Lisa.
Okay.
And thanks again also goes out to Joe Caruso for helping to make Franchise Today a leader in franchise media. Thanks, of course, to all who listen to our show. I know we have a lot of loyal listeners, and I know you have the opportunity to spend your hours in the day on many things, and I appreciate the fact that you choose to spend it with us. Today's segment will be available on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/Franchise Today Show. Remember, next week my guests will be Deb Evans and BJ Emerson, as we will discuss social media and, among other things, have a look at social media from the franchisor perspective. Be sure to listen to their show, Social Geek Radio, on Blog Talk Radio on Thursday evenings. That's tonight. I'm sure it's also available on demand, and take advantage of their call-in number. I think you'll find that very entertaining. So anyway, as I said, they'll be on next week. Then we'll be on hiatus for 2 weeks throughout the holidays, and then back in January. So anyway, until next week, I'm Paul Segreto, wishing you the best in this great thing we call franchising. Franchise Today is out.